On the first Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of peace. With war raging in many parts of the world, for whom God sent his Son, and the threat of terror attacks from ISIS, dare we speak of peace? Our Jewish friends still greet one another with the Hebrew word shalom, which means peace. Can they teach us a lesson on this first Sunday of Advent? One definition of peace is the absence of war. We speak of a fearful event disturbing our peace. In the greatest announcement the world has ever received, the angel begins the message with, "Don't be afraid." The angel host concludes with, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests." Peace that passes understanding. The peace we all want. The peace we all need. The peace of God. In Jesus' last discourse before his crucifixion and ultimate resurrection, he said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." How shall we sum up the emphasis on the first Sunday of Advent? Fear not. Today we light the first candle of Advent, the candle of peace.
Favorite times of year as we are in Advent season right now, focusing on how we are celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. What a wonderful time of year as the church. And I'm going to focus on the verse now to continue our time of worship that I will be sharing with the children during the children's sermon, focused on Mark 13, verse 33. Jesus is letting us know that we need to be ready for his second coming, ready for his arrival once again to take his church back with him. And he says this: "Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. So at all times we are called to be ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to come back again and to take us with him. And what a glorious day that will be." Let's have a word of prayer. God, thank you so much for this time where you call us together, God, as your church to worship you in spirit and in truth. And Lord, we are praying for that to happen right now, for our focus and our attention to be on you. God, guide us. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
What a great season of the year, and great hymns and carols that we will be sharing in the next several weeks. We're going to start today, "Come, Thou Long-Expected Jesus," number 77. Let's stand as we sing, please.
Thank you. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come here today thanking you for the many blessings that you've given us in this group that's gathered here today to hear your word, Father. It's truly a blessing. As we enter the Christmas season, Father, we ask that we remember the reason for the season, and we thank you for giving us your Son to cover our sins. Father, we ask that you might bless these tithes, these offerings, to further thy kingdom. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Good morning. So good to see all of you. I see that we, as a church, have started to celebrate Christmas. Did anybody decorate this past weekend? Did any families get a head start and put Christmas up? Do any of you have your Christmas tree up? A few people. Yeah, we did too. Lauren has me used to the day after Thanksgiving on Saturday. We kind of get everything ready for Christmas. I wanted to see if any of you have an Advent calendar. It might not look like this one exactly, but do any of you have a calendar where you move something each day leading up to Christmas? Anybody have one? Or you open a little box each day? Yeah, sometimes it's a piece of chocolate or sometimes it's a little prize. Well, it helps us focus on Advent as we get ready for December 25th. Because Advent means the arrival of a person or an event. What do you think we are waiting for on December 25th to arrive? What do we celebrate on Christmas? Jesus. We celebrate Jesus' birth. Absolutely. And it's really important for us to focus on that. As great as all the other parts of Christmas are, the trees, the decorations, the presents, the whole reason we start today as a church to focus on Advent is to get ready to celebrate Jesus Christ's birth. And part of that Advent is to realize that we know Jesus is going to come back again on earth to take us with him to heaven. And that will be an amazing day. And you know, there were people who asked Jesus, well, when's that going to happen? Wouldn't you like to know? We have a little calendar that leads us up counting down the days to December 25th. We don't have a calendar counting down the days of when Jesus will come back. Jesus told us this. You heard it in Mark 13:33 when someone asked him, when will you come back? He said, be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when that time will come. Jesus doesn't want us to know when that time will come because he wants us hard at work telling people about him. It's really fun to talk about Christmas and the gifts and presents, but this year, starting today, make sure that you tell people that you celebrate Christmas because you're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. And maybe, hopefully, they'll learn and understand how to love Him as their Lord and Savior just like you do. Okay? Let's pray about that. God, thank you so much for this wonderful time of year as we celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. Teach us how to tell other people about that during Christmas this year. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week.
As the children are returning, we don't normally point out people that are in attendance here, but I just wanted to say a hearty welcome back, Heather. Heather Hickman is here for the first Sunday in months. She's not 100%, but she still got one more test to go, but she felt well enough to come and be with us today. And I know she has been on all of our prayer lists. We mention her inquiry each week, and she's been in your hearts and prayers, and I'm so glad that you're here today. Number 78, Lo, How a Rose Air Blooming. Come stand up with me, please.
Good morning on this first Sunday in Advent. We are indeed delighted to gather together to worship our Lord in spirit and in truth. And as we are glad to see Heather, we're also glad to see Peggy Shepherd with us in worship today. We're glad that she has gotten where she can be back as well. And many we're praying for that aren't here that need our prayers. And you'll see our prayer list in the bulletin. We would invite you to read that. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we have lighted the first candle of Advent, your peace. And maybe there's someone here today who needs your peace in a special way. Those on this list, Lord, who are dealing with certain physical struggles, they need your peace. Maybe, Lord, as we come to this holiday season, because of life, we need your peace. Because of loss, we need your peace. Because of transitioning in life, we need your peace. God, you know every need. You know every heart. And as we bow as a congregation to pray, we ask, O God, that your peace might manifest itself in our hearts and in our lives, in our minds, and in our ways. God, would you continue to guide us and direct us as we worship you? For Lord, when we really worship you, it's where we really find our peace. Bless us as we bless your name and pray for peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
Angels from above, so glory, bring your glory.
said,
Amen.
Come and worship. Isn't it wonderful that we got that opportunity right now? And what a wonderful thing it is, because how terrible would it be if there was no Advent? Before I read our scripture, I do want to say one more person we ought to recognize today, Miss Margie Bridges, celebrated her 90th birthday on the 27th day of November, and we are delighted she's here in worship with us. Yeah, let's do that. I like that. They offered a surprise party for her on her birthday, and it surprised us because we forgot it. But we went by yesterday, and guess what Margie was doing when we went by to carry her card and sit with her a little while? She was out in her yard getting up leaves. I reminded her that the Baptist men could help with that. She said, but I like doing it. So I hope I'm getting up leaves when I'm 90, Margie. You are an inspiration to us and a blessing to us by your faithfulness. Thank you. We're going to be looking at the biblical songs of Christmas this Advent season, and we're going to start with Elizabeth. It's found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. We're going to read verses 39 through 45. Now, you know that Mary and Elizabeth were related. We often think of them as cousins, but the Hebrew word is kinswoman. We don't know their exact relationship, but cousin has kind of been accepted in tradition. And so that makes John the Baptist and Jesus related as well. And this is a story of a miraculous conception of Elizabeth in her old age. You might remember that story, how Zechariah is told that's going to happen. And so we know that great story. And this is the song that Elizabeth's going to sing. The actual song begins in verse 42. But it's when Mary, who is now pregnant with Jesus, comes to visit her kinswoman, Elizabeth. Luke chapter 1, we're going to read verses 39 through 45. If you're able, would you stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's word? In those days, Mary arose and went with haste to the hill to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah, and she greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped, John, in her, Elizabeth's, womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? And she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women." And here's the hymn. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped with joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most precious, his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, would you take the feeling of Elizabeth at the very presence of the embryonic Jesus? Would you now let us know we're coming into your presence? And may we leap with joy and sing praises to your name. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Songs, they're so important. When we gather tonight for the hanging of the greens at 6:30, how'd you like that commercial? 6:30 tonight. We'll be singing the carols. Let me remind you that you ever thought why we sing? Sometimes I look out and I see folks not singing. I still love you, okay? But let me remind you don't sing for us. You don't sing to me. Can you imagine going to a birthday party and everybody singing happy birthday and you not singing? This is Jesus' party. And we sing unto the Lord. Our choir, as I led them in prayer right before we came out, I reminded them that they don't sing for you. You just get to listen. But they sing unto the Lord. When you come to worship, you don't come to hear what I have to say. But you come to hear what God might have to say. And so we listen unto the Lord. And God takes the poor efforts of a fellow like me and sometimes brings a word that can touch a heart and change a life. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what happened in this encounter with Mary and Elizabeth. As we move to Christmas, as we move toward that Advent, we think of all those traditional things we do. But they're to remind us, and I think the reason we repeat the carols and we repeat the services, I have done lessons and carols almost the same way for 20 years. And this Christmas Eve, I'll do it the same way again. Because what more can I do than read the scriptures that tell the story of Jesus' birth and us sing the carols of Christmas to Jesus on Christmas Eve? You know, those traditions, they sometimes can get a little confusing, though, can't they? I love the story of the little boys that were in the Christmas play, and they represented the three wise men bringing their gifts. The first boy stepped out, and he said, "I bring gold." The second little boy stepped out, and he said, "I bring myrrh." And the third little boy stepped out, and he says, "I don't know what I got, but Frank sent this." Well, today we don't care what Frank sent, but I wonder what God might send our way. I wonder what gold and myrrh and frankincense might say to us. What might Elizabeth serve as our teacher today to teach us on this first Sunday of Advent? She can teach us that we can go from broken to belonging. We can go from a state of being broken to a state of being blessed and belonging. Elizabeth goes from that very moment, because in ancient times, for a woman to be barren, for a woman to be unable to conceive and have children, that was considered to be something God had done to you. But we know better now. But I wonder today, is there some area of our life that is broken? Every one of us. Every one of us has some area, don't we? Some disappointment. Some frustration. Some irritation. Some, "I don't know why this happened." We all have that. W. Paul Jones reminds us of a story of a woman who taught how sometimes maybe we don't feel as drastically as she felt, but yet maybe we all have an inkling like this. She says there was a woman who shared in her Sunday school class because she was a victim of childhood polio. That was right on the edge of me being born. We pretty much eliminated polio, but there was many who suffered from it. And she was crippled and her ability to walk because of the polio. And she said this: when she was a child, when her mother left her in Sunday school, I always asked her, could I wear her golden locket during Sunday school? And her mom would always give her the locket. And she said this as her testimony: the reason I did that was I didn't feel like I was worth anything. And I was afraid Mom might not come back for me. But if I had the locket, it was valuable. She'd come back for the locket. It's kind of a sad story, isn't it? What's your worth today? Is your praise worthy? Does God really want to hear from you? Or did He just come for your tithes and offerings? Are you just a number in church, or is this a holy moment? Elizabeth was broken. She was disconnected. She didn't feel like she was worth anything because she had been barren all her life. And now at this late stage, a miraculous birth not unlike that of Abraham and Sarah, she conceives. Not only does she conceive, but the child within her is the forerunner of the Christ. It is John the baptizer. It is that strong voice in the wilderness. He's going to be a weird boy, but he's going to be her boy. And he's going to stand strong in the midst of all that is going on. It will cost him his life that he stands so strong against Herod and the sin in his life. But John will stand, and Elizabeth now finds her value when the Son of God, still in his mother's womb, enters her house. And I just go, wow. I wonder where Jesus needs to enter. Christmas is that time when our disconnections can be magnified. They tell us it's the most depressing time of the year. That people get more depressed during Christmas because of their brokenness, because of their disappointments, because of what could have been and what they think should have been. And yet it is the time when we are invited to connect on such a level as never, ever before. The choice is ours. God has often told us to expect the unexpected. Now I have a tool. I started to bring it, and I decided y'all didn't need an object lesson. If you want to see it, it's in my drawer, my kitchen drawer. It's a measuring tape. Everybody got a measuring tape? I bet I got some you ain't got. I got a metric measuring tape. Anybody got a metric measuring tape? Roll-out measuring metric? It's useless. It is absolutely the most useless thing I own. And I've had it for 20 years, and it's still in the drawer where my important tools are. Because I just won't throw it away. But I don't think metric. Do you think metric? You know? How many meters tall are you? How many kilograms do you weigh? Well, we won't even go there. We don't use that system. We should. I mean, when I was in school 100 years ago, they said we ought to all go metric. We hadn't gone metric yet, I don't think. But I got a measuring tape. And what is so frustrating is when I need to measure something, I run and I pull that drawer out and I open it and there's a measuring tape and I grab it and I say, oh goodness, that's the metric one. And never is the standard measuring tape in the drawer. I've taken it outside to the back building. Why do I tell you that silly story? How do you measure your life? Have you ever grabbed the wrong measuring tape that does you no good? Are you measuring your life by what other people think instead of what God thinks? Do we measure our life by what could have been instead of what God is doing in our very midst at this moment? It matters. Elizabeth teaches us that we can be broken, but we can belong. We can be included. We can be included in such a miraculous way that we'll wind up in the Bible like she did. Isn't that amazing? When God measures our life and we allow His standard to be our standard, we see life differently. We'll see Christmas differently when we do that. What is broken in your life? What do we need to understand that might keep us from believing that we belong? You see, I love a story by Paul Bailey, who visited the Orange Grove where there was an irrigation pump and it had broken down and the season was unusually dry. I imagine now in California the whole world is dry out there. We need to pray for them in that prolonged drought. And some of the trees were beginning to die. And the man took Bailey to his own orchard where irrigation was used very sparingly. And he said this, these trees, unlike those you saw a moment ago, they could go another 2 weeks with no irrigation and no water. You see, when they were young, I frequently kept water from them. And this hardship, it caused them to send their roots deeper and deeper into the soil to search for moisture. Now mine are the deepest rooted trees in all the area. And while others are being scorched by the sun, mine are finding moisture at a greater depth. Isn't that what God wants to do with us? Oh, I don't think God causes drought in our life, but when we're deeply rooted in His Word, when we've allowed the things that might seem to be broken to make us go closer to Him and search harder to hear what He might say in our circumstance, then we're able to be deeper rooted and do more. Our God is a God of reconnections. Our God is a God of restoring. Our God is a God of redeeming. Elizabeth was broken, but made to belong. And secondly, Elizabeth goes from beyond to back. It was too late for her to have children. Old women don't have children except twice in the Bible, Sarah and Elizabeth. And in this amazing story, isn't it interesting that Mary was a young woman and Elizabeth was the one path? I think I would have said, Lord, it'll be a bigger miracle if you make Mary an old woman and then let Jesus be born. But that isn't how He chose. I've learned not to second guess God. That's a lifetime journey sometimes. And sometimes I still mess up. Maybe you do too. But Elizabeth was beyond the age of childbearing. You ever feel like it's too late? You ever feel like you've done too much, gone too far, waited too long? You're beyond. Elizabeth did. And yet she wasn't. And neither are we. You ever have regrets about what might have been? God can make the impossible possible. What God does need to do this first Sunday in Advent that we might think is impossible. I wonder if there's something that if God were to do that in our life, if we were to remember that the reason for Christmas, instead of what it is morphed into, then we might well see things differently. Years ago, there was an interesting sign that hung in a store window at Christmas season. The original message said, "Let's make this the best Christmas ever." Underneath, someone wrote, "How can you top the first one?" But you know what? There's a danger. There's a danger of forgetting the first one to try to make this one better. And the only way this one can be really good is to remember the first one and to make it the focus. The Song of Elizabeth reminds us that when we're in the presence of Christ, the Christ of Christmas, that amazing things can and do happen. What do we need today to bring us back? Do we need a big change or just a little change? God took a little stick and put it in Moses' hands and he separated the sea. God took a little rock and put it in David's hand, and he dropped a giant. God took a little boy's lunch and put it in Jesus' hands, and he fed the multitudes. What little thing might we do today on this first Sunday of Advent? What little thing? Because little things can change others. And if we're sensitive, little things can change us. There's an article years ago in Campus Life of a nurse who was on her pilgrimage, and she learned to see the image of God in what she called distressing disguise. I want you to hear that again. To see the image of God in distressing disguise. The story goes like this. Eileen was one of her first patients. This person was totally helpless. Cerebral aneurysm, that's a broken vessel in her brain, had left her with no conscious control over her body. The nurse writes, "As near as doctors could tell, Eileen was totally unconscious, unable to feel pain or aware of anything going on around her. It was the job of the hospital staff to turn her every hour to prevent bed sores and to feed her twice a day. What looked like a thin mush through a stomach tube. Caring for her was a thankless task. She had no family. when it was bad, and older student nurses told her, you have to detach yourself emotionally from the whole situation. As a result, more and more, Eileen came to be treated like a thing, not like a person. But the young student nurse decided that she would not treat Eileen like others had treated her. She talked to her. She sang to her. She encouraged her. She even brought her little gifts that she could see and put them in front of her. One day when things were especially difficult, and it would have been easy for the young nurse to take out her frustrations on Eileen, she was especially kind. It was Thanksgiving Day, and the nurse said to the patient, I was in a cruddy mood this morning, Eileen, because it's supposed to be my day off. But here I am, and I'm glad. I wouldn't have wanted to miss seeing you, Eileen, on Thanksgiving Day. Just then, the telephone rang, and the nurse turned to answer it. And when she looked back, quickly, she writes these. Eileen was looking at me, crying. Big, damp circles stained her pillow, and she was shaking all over. That was the only human emotion that Eileen could show. Not long afterwards, Eileen died. And the young nurse closes her story saying, I keep thinking about her. It occurred to me that I owe her an awful lot. Except for Eileen, I might never have known what it's like to give myself to someone who can't give back. To give myself to someone who can't give back. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? You couldn't earn your salvation. You're not smart enough. You're not good enough. You couldn't do it. Death would be a disaster, save it be for Christ. You can't pay him back. I can't pay him back. We can't pay him back. This church can't pay him back. All the churches together, all the denominations together, all of Christianity, we can never give the Christmas gift that we now celebrate on this first Sunday of Advent. We can't give it back. But like Eileen, we can be taught. We can learn. John kicked when Mary and Jesus, still in the womb, came into the room. We're blessed this Advent season that Christ wants to come into our life. I wonder if we might sing the song of Elizabeth, one who was broken, one who was beyond, one who felt as though they had gone from being barren to being blessed. You know, we've each got a choice. We can either make this the best Christmas ever, which we cannot do. Or we can celebrate the first Christmas, the best Christmas ever. And all of our preparation on this first Sunday of Advent, almost a month away, we can prepare our hearts to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to jump with joy at the presence of Christ, to sing praises and carols to his name, to worship him in spirit and in truth. And brothers and sisters, I dare you to try it, because it will change your world. It'll change your family. It'll change your life. Elizabeth has much to teach us. From broken and beyond and barren, to belonging, to being blessed, and to being back. Come on back this Christmas. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in just a moment we're going to offer an invitation. And we're going to invite anyone who would, who needs to, who feels your Holy Spirit leading them to make some decision about our walk with you. What would you teach us today from Elizabeth? What does your Holy Spirit tell us even now about our thinking? Maybe we've already started off. Maybe this weekend we were wrong in how we started off Christmas. But now we want to come back. We want to change the focus this year We want to worship as never before. We want to praise your name as never before. We want to focus on you as never before. We want you to be the emphasis of our Christmas season this year. And Lord, I just believe that'll stop family squabbles. That'll stop who's going to go where, do what, when, how. We won't be asking those kind of questions. We'll just be prayerfully and lovingly worshiping you. And all the rest will just fall into place as it needs to. But Lord, maybe there's someone today who's wandered away. And your Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that filled Elizabeth when Mary walked into the room carrying the Christ child, your Spirit fills us and says, hey, you know, it's been a long time since you and I made some decisions together. It's been a long time since you talked to me about the sin in your life. It's been a long time since you reminded me how much you love me. It's been a long time since we made some commitments together. Oh, Lord, would your Spirit fill this place? And may we respond to your Spirit as you lead us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, a hymn of invitation, our hymn of decision, page 95. Go and tell it on the mountain. Today, if God is speaking to your heart and you need to make some decision for him, some life-changing decision, and you feel the Holy Spirit leading you right now, don't quench that Spirit. Do what God would tell you to do as we stand together. Ask you to be seated for just a second. Let me share a couple of announcements with you. First of all, the Instruments of Christ that we're going to meet today, they're going to cancel that today, so be looking for more opportunities to do that. Their program is in a couple of weeks. And in that vein, let me remind you that we have church every Sunday night from now to Christmas, and tonight we'll be hanging in the greens. Some have said they can't come because they can't climb ladders. If you don't already know which ladder you're supposed to climb, don't worry about it. You're not climbing a ladder tonight. But it is a time of worship. It's kind of a laid-back kind of worship, a little different. We're going to start singing carols. We're going to have a candlelight service that the more of you are here, the more impressive it is when we do it. And you see the church is kind of barren tonight. Today, we do have these two beautiful poinsettias that the choir has given in memory of Betty Hurley. Betty was here when we started giving or doing the hanging of the greens 9 years ago. And so the choir wanted to do that in honor of her. There's so many folks this Christmas we want to honor and give thanks to. It's going to be a different challenge for us, but we're going to make it because we know they're going to be celebrating Christmas in a whole different way on Streets of Gold, and for that we're grateful. But we're going to have a wonderful time of just worshiping together. And then FSYC next week, Instruments of Christ next week, the cantata the next week, and then Christmas will be over. And the live nativity tonight at 5:30. Tonight at 5:30. That's for everybody to come out. Our kids will be doing it. It's going to be back down on this side. And so if you'll come out at 5:30 and then come on in the sanctuary at 6:30, I think you'll have a good start on the first Sunday of Advent. to being preparing yourself for worship. So I hope you'll all be here. Amen.
As Gary's been preaching and teaching us this morning on following the Holy Spirit's guidance, I'm excited for Christmas season during this time, and I wanted to let everyone know that Lauren and I have been spending a lot of time in prayer as well, following the Holy Spirit's guidance, and that comes with great excitement and also sadness, where we are announcing that God has called me to pastorate at a sister church not too far away. And that's something we're asking all the prayers from the congregation to be upon us and upon the church. It's exciting because we know we are following God's will. It's also sad because it means we're leaving a family we love dearly, and we believe everyone loves us. So that's a sad departure, but at the same time, an awareness that we follow God's will, and that brings great joy. So what better way to announce that during Christmas as we seek His guidance over all and all things.
Amen. Amen. And we have extremely mixed emotions. I have extremely mixed emotions. I am delighted for this opportunity that God is giving Matt to move in his call. And Matt and I have spent a lot of time in prayer and conversation about this process, discerning what the will of God is. And what that tells us is, as Matt has laid a tremendous foundation for our family ministry, God will be preparing us for the next step that God will be having us to take. And I'm already going to talk to the deacons about homecoming speaker for next November, and we'll see how that works out. But we're excited that God will be doing that. And we'll be praying not only for Matt and Lauren and Lillian as they move to this next call in their life, but we'll be praying for God to give us direction for our next step in that same vein. I'm going to ask Matt, you and Lauren to come join me at the front door. We never did decide, but I think that's the appropriate place. And I know you'll want to come by. I know we're sad. I see it on your face, and that's okay. That we should be, because we love this family dearly. But we know God has those kind of times for us to move forward to a higher call. And He will bring all of this to His plan as long as we remain faithful and continue, as Matt said, to seek the Holy Spirit as we move forward. Would you stand with me? And any other announcements I need to make? I'm at a point now, I don't want to let a big one go. All hearts content. Elizabeth, be humming her song this week, a new hymn next week, as we will continue to look at the songs of Christmas. But isn't it good that God can take us from broken to being back in His proper place? I feel His Spirit in this place right now. I pray that private decisions were made to make some things the way God would have them to be in our heart and in our life. And now, as we leave this place, may we do so in God's peace and in His power and in His abiding presence, that we might be His people in the midst of all His people. Would you pray with me? God, go with us from here, for there is much to do. For Matt and Lauren and Lillian, it will be at Jersey Baptist Church in Lexington. And God, that is an exciting call upon one's life to go and be the pastor. And so we pray even now for them. And we pray for us, Lord, that we go through the process of grieving the loss of a family that we love dearly. And that, Lord, we might also be seeking Your direction for the ministry that You empowered Matt and Lauren to be such an important part of, that it might continue to grow and move in ways that would bring glory and honor to You. I pray for our children and our children's ministry. I pray for our youth and our youth ministry. I pray for all the families that are connected to those, that we might seek Your face as we share this time. Go with us now from this place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.